Hey there, Walt here from Walt in PA, and I'd like to welcome you to another episode of the Motorcycle Adjacent Podcast. This is episode 13, and if this is your first time here, it's basically a generalized motorcycle podcast with the creative freedom to dabble around the outskirts of the motorcycle category. If you enjoy the show, you could do me a huge favor and subscribe to future episodes. So as I said in the introduction, this is episode 13 of the Motorcycle Adjacent Podcast, and I hate to draw attention to it because there is this tried and true advice for any type of content creation, and it's basically don't draw attention to something if you've done something wrong. So for example, if you have a YouTube channel or you have a podcast or you have a motorcycle blog, if you produce content, let's say every Wednesday, and you miss a Wednesday, the last thing you want to do is draw the attention to it and say, man, I'm sorry I missed this episode on Wednesday, because not everyone hangs on your last word, and people are probably not going to notice it until, of course, you draw attention to it. So I'm not drawing attention to the fact that I missed a Wednesday. I didn't miss an episode. We are recording this a day late. I had a week from hell. And unfortunately, there hasn't been any motorcycle riding involved in the past, I want to say, week, you know, between my wife's work schedule, taking care of the kids, juggling all the things that they have going on. There just hasn't been much in the way of free time to get out and ride. So it's been work, trying to keep up with everything I've got going on, and try to keep up with all the things that I'm trying to do on the back end of the Walt NPA YouTube channel and the Walt NPA website. So it's been fun, but it's been really hectic, and time totally got away from me. When I finally realized, oh man, it's Wednesday morning, the podcast is supposed to release today, where did the last couple of days go? I didn't even get a chance to record it, so here we are, a couple of days late, but I'm happy to say the streak continues. I'm not going to miss the week, but I missed the day by a day or two, but the streak continues. 13 episodes biweekly, just like the plan was all along. So, you know, the first thing that I want to talk about, I had mentioned that I'm doing some work on the back end of waltnpa.com as well as some YouTube stuff, and I was building a subscription page. I was trying to come up with something handy dandy so that if anyone was interested in subscribing to the podcast, they would have all of the information in one place, you know, links directly to the podcast on iTunes, direct to the podcast on the Google Store or the Google Play, whatever they call it these days, direct on Stitcher, you know, all that sorts of things. Actually, I was working on a mailing list or a newsletter, rather. Like the very first email of a newsletter had all this basic information on it, like where you could find me on social media, how you could subscribe to the podcast, the YouTube channel, and all that. So while I was digging up all of these links, I happened to click through to the direct link for iTunes, and I was kind of blown away. I was caught 100% off guard when I found not one, but two five-star reviews. So for the two of you out there, one is anonymous, the other is for the love of bass, or if you're an outdoorsman, for the love of bass. Thank you very, very much for the five-star reviews. They totally caught me off guard. I really appreciate the little blurb. It's labeled as entertaining, great to hear, bike life from a fellow rider, both ups and downs, helps pass the day at work. I'll be looking forward to plenty more episodes. Thank you very, very much. Totally made my day. Totally caught me off guard. Very, very cool. So for those of you out there that are taking the time to leave reviews on iTunes and all the other services, thank you very, very much. It is very greatly appreciated. So another thing that is greatly appreciated, although I do a terrible job of showing it, is if you've ever watched my YouTube channel and you've clicked through to look at the video description, there's like this boilerplate thing that gets stuck in every single one of them. You know, it's links to all the various gear that I use, and I keep a section in there for sticker swaps. At one point in time, I used to go back and forth trading lots of stickers. It was a really fun pastime to send stickers out to motovloggers, get motovlogger stickers back. You know, it's kind of, I don't know, it's like being a kid again and collecting baseball cards or football cards or whatever you collected. And I even created a little book for myself where I keep all of the stickers in my collection. You know, some guys have a sticker board. They start slapping them up on a board, or they'll put them on a toolbox or a tool cabinet. But I put all my stuff in a nice, like, binder, like a giant, I'm going to date myself here, but like a Trapper Keeper style binder. You know, I keep all that stuff in there, and I think it's really cool. I do a terrible job of checking my P.O. box. It's to the point where I'll go down there to check it. Weeks will have gone by. I don't get a lot of stickers these days. I don't send very many out. And I do a terrible job of initiating that whole thing. So basically, I need to go down to the post office every few weeks or sometimes few months and clear out all the junk mail. And the last couple of times I've gone down there, you know, when I put the key in the box and I turn it, I can hear the lock body like rubbing against paper, you know, all those circulars. I'll open the door and it will be jam packed. It will look, I don't know how they get so much mail in there. It's almost like they stick the junk mail in there, and then when more comes and it's over full, it's like you rip this whole stack out and then rewrap it into this thick mass log and stuff it back in there. It's incredible. There are times when I felt like a magician. I'm like pulling circulars and it's just this never-ending stream of paper because I can't pull the whole thing out and I've got to take it chunks at a time. But I checked my P.O. box recently and I found 3 Christmas cards. Yes, it is mid-January, and that shows just how often I check my P.O. box. So thank you very, very much, BD Rider. Thank you very much, Purple on 3. And thank you very much, Wind Road Therapy. I did get your Christmas cards. My apologies for not sending a thank you sooner. I'm just really bad at that whole sticker swap, checking the P.O. box thing, because 99% of the time, I'm just going there to throw away junk mail. So thank you. I really do appreciate it. So if you follow along with me outside of the podcast, on my YouTube channel or on waltnpa.com, I've been trying to build up the web presence a little bit and kind of expand. So one of the things that I decided to do recently was sign up for some affiliate programs. Now, most people, if you're watching a video on YouTube and someone's talking about a product, or you're reading about a motorcycle product on a blog or a website, more often than not, the affiliate program that they use is called Amazon Associates. In a sense, it's basically a referral program where you earn a commission by sending sales to Amazon. So let's say, you know, I've got this awesome Insta360 camera, and I want you to consider using this camera if you get into motovlogging. So you want to set up your bike with a camera, you want to go out for a ride and record the whole thing, and I'm going to sell you on this camera. You should absolutely use this camera. And if you want to buy this camera, you should use my Amazon link and purchase it from Amazon, because I earn a commission by sending you over to Amazon to make this purchase. And as a matter of fact, not only do I get a commission on the sale of this camera, but a cookie is saved on your computer, a little digital file that basically gives me a commission on anything else that you buy within a window. At one point in time, it used to be 30 days. I don't remember what it is these days. So, you know, if you click through to check out this camera, but you don't buy the camera and you wind up going back, you know, 3 days from now because you need to order more cat litter or more dog food, I get a commission on the sale. And that's great. So people basically make a business out of using referral sites or affiliates to direct traffic to different retailers or to different sellers. And many of them offer different commission rates. Amazon used to be one of the biggest names in the whole affiliate space, offering these really high commissions. Over the past number of years, that number has dropped and dropped and dropped. And I think the average these days might be like 3 to 5%, depending on the category. At one point in time, it was probably in excess of 10% of the sale, or 10% of the price. So Amazon is a really big affiliate program. Most people that have links in their YouTube bios or links in their video descriptions generally are pointing back to YouTube, pointing back to Amazon. Now, I am an Amazon affiliate. If you checked out my HearProTech review, I linked to my affiliate link to the HearProTech store. And, you know, it's an affiliate program that I use, but I'm trying to expand because there are two really good reasons to not always use Amazon. The first of which is everyone uses Amazon. And the second is that sometimes items just aren't available on Amazon. Despite them having hundreds of thousands of items to choose from, if I am like really impressed with a particular camera mount for my bike, or that's probably a really bad example. Let's say I'm really impressed with my Voss helmet. I think it's fantastic. You agree with me. You want to buy the Voss helmet. I'm not going to recommend Amazon because Amazon doesn't sell the Voss helmet. So I'm trying to open things up. I applied for an affiliate program through Revzilla. I used to have one, but apparently they changed affiliate networks and they're no longer with the one I was approved on. So now I've got to go through the process all over again. In case you're curious, their commission percent is 3% on sales, on qualifying sales. I'm not exactly sure what differentiates that, but basically 3%. And then I also applied for the Cycle Gear affiliate program. I didn't realize it at the time, but both Revzilla and Cycle Gear are under the Komoto brand. I guess they're owned by the same parent company, but the commission rate on Cycle Gear products is 4% as opposed to 3% on Revzilla. I did get approved for the Cycle Gear affiliate program. I'm really pumped about that because they have a lot more motorcycle items that I could send you to. You know, a lot of the stuff that I use is more readily available on Cycle Gear or Revzilla, and that's kind of exciting for me because if you like the gear that I use and the gear that I recommend, I can send you to some place that I can earn a commission on and make this whole thing a little more viable. And in addition to that, I also applied for a Voss Helmets affiliate program. Now, when I did the Voss Helmets, for the Voss Helmet first impression on the 989 Moto V, I directed everyone to Goofy Bastard's affiliate link. He was the one that turned me on to the helmet. I thought it was only fair to kind of send traffic and any potential commission his way. I had just gotten the helmet. I didn't really know much about it. I did a first impressions take on it. So in my mind, it wasn't really cool to sign up for an affiliate program on a product that I didn't really know or stand behind, you know, just in an attempt to make a buck. So I held off and signed up for the Voss affiliate program because I've been really happy with the helmet and I think I want to start recommending it. I've used it long enough and for enough miles that, you know, I feel like I can definitely stand behind the helmet at this point. It's not like a throwaway item that I don't really care about. So it's one of those things, you know, I'm really happy with my Voss helmet. I'm going to continue to wear it. And I was actually considering buying another one as a backup. So we'll see how that whole affiliate thing works out. So anyway, I'm pretty excited about this whole affiliate venture. And I'm looking forward to being able to recommend products that I stand behind and personally use and enjoy. And since I mentioned the HearProTech earplugs, I should probably mention that I am giving a pair of them away. I got my pair for free. I didn't pay for it. HearProTech sent them to me. And during our initial communication, I asked them to send me a second pair because I wanted to use them as a contest giveaway. And that's going on Walt in PA right now. If you look at the show notes, I'll have a link to the giveaway page, which basically tells you that it's a random drawing. It's going to happen on Wednesday, February 1st, 2023. And in order to sign up, I want you to sign up for the Walt NPA newsletter, where I will basically send you random updates on the happenings of the Motorcycle Adjacent podcast, the Walt NPA YouTube channel, and waltnpa.com. And then when I say occasional, I really mean occasional. kind of lackadaisical when it comes to sending out emails. I am not a fan of big affiliate marketing programs, or just those big automated marketing programs in general. I can't tell you how many things I've bought and have started despising because they just nonstop hammer you over the head with email. You know, oh, we haven't seen you in, you know, 7 days. You know, check out our products. Well, the product that I bought is, it's going to last me for years. I don't need to buy a new one every 2 weeks. Why are you hammering me with these emails? It drives me absolutely insane. So I thought I would launch a newsletter to keep people up with what I had going on. And it will likely be bi-weekly, maybe even a monthly update. I'm just not interested in reaching out into your inbox very frequently. It's a lot of work on my end, and it's just not something I'm into. So if you're interested in occasional emails and you want to enter to win a free pair of HeroProtect motorcycle earplugs, head on over to waltnpa.com. I've got a pair ready for you. So if you've been following along with me since before the podcast, I don't want to say like the early days because it hasn't been all that long, but if you've discovered the Walt NPA YouTube channel, and that's kind of the way you found out about me and this podcast and whatnot, you're probably aware that I've gone through a couple of deviations in the way that I produce content, especially on YouTube. You know, I originally started doing what I consider traditional moto vlogs or classic moto vlogs, where I basically get on my motorcycle, I turn on my cameras, and I talk about whatever comes to mind while I'm riding. You get a little bit of scenery, you get a little bit of input, and they're easy to edit, they're kind of fun to do, they're actually quite therapeutic. It's actually really fun and enjoyable. It's something that I actually enjoy quite a bit. And being that I'm locked in a house with children most of the time, you know, it's a nice release getting some kind of like adult conversation going, even if it is with myself. But you know, despite it being fun, the truth of the fact, or the simple fact, is motovlogs don't put asses in seats. There aren't a lot of motovloggers with very large followings. People generally want to be entertained, and motovlogs don't usually do it. It's almost like finding a talk show host that you really like listening to, and you know you value their input, you value their opinion, so you tune in every week or whatever it is to check out their opinion. What's this guy going to talk about this week? And that's at least been my experience with the motovlogs. Now, I realize that if you're a motovlogger and you hear the asses in seats comment, the first thing you're thinking of is, well, Walt, you're supposed to be doing this for the love of the game. You know, you're not supposed to be doing this to become world famous motovlogger. You know, you're not supposed to set out to be the next Blockhead or Shade Tree Surgeon or, you know, insert famous motovlogger here. But the fact of the matter is, most of us, I shouldn't say most of us, a lot of us, we do pay attention to our numbers, and we want to see some sort of reward for the effort that we put into this. It's not like you spend an hour a week, you know, producing a motovlog. You know, you might spend an hour recording the motovlog. You may hate it and have to record it again. So now you're spending 2 hours on it. You know, and you've got to edit it and post-process it and upload it and distribute it and market it through social media channels. There's a lot of things that go into, you know, this little hobby outside of the money aspect of it. You know, buying cameras, buying equipment, licenses for various pieces of software or media. You know, it doesn't have to be expensive. You know, motovlogging is as expensive as you want it to be. You know, you can get into it with using equipment that you have and very low budget, or, you know, the sky's the limit. You could spend all the money in the world on the most fancy equipment and still flop. But the fact that the matter for me is I like to see that people are consuming the content that I produce. And the thing that has helped me, you know, stay motivated is knowing that if I take little deviations in the way that I produce content, I can see those numbers rise a little bit. I can expand the audience. I can see them finding more use from my content. So, you know, at first it was the traditional motovlog aspect of it. And then I tried, you know, the whole music and scenery thing where there wasn't much talking, but I tried to take in all the sights and sounds and try to bring you on a virtual ride. And I found that they were kind of fun to do on occasion, but they weren't really where my heart was at. They were fun, but, you know, I just kind of liked the whole motovlog thing. So then I tried to bring those two together where, you know, almost like those movies that we love from the 80s, where we've got our dialogue and then we've got our montage and then we've got dialogue on the other end to kind of sandwich it all together. So, you know, there's some talking, there's some writing, there's some music, there's some scenery, and then we're back to talking. And, you know, that's kind of where I'm falling these days. I like doing more, you know, I like the talking side of it, but I also like the more cinematic, fun, scenic approach to it. So, you know, my content's been kind of moving around while I try to get a feel for both what I like doing and what other people like consuming. And the most recent change or most recent adjustment is I've been trying to produce more educational type content. So before I started a YouTube channel, I've had the Walt NPA blog for over a decade. It was something that I started on New Year's Day, I want to say 2009. And it was just supposed to be like this creative outlet for me to just write stuff. I had always enjoyed writing, and it just seemed like the perfect thing to do. Blogs are popular. It's 2009. It's like, hey, why not? Everyone else is doing it. I'll give it a shot. So I start this blog. I start writing about various things. And as my hobbies changed, the direction of the blog changed. You know, it took on various forms over the years. And when I decided to get back into motorcycles again, it was right when the pandemic was in full swing. I started shopping for a motorcycle, and then immediately after the shopping process started, Pennsylvania shut down everything with, you know, because of the pandemic. Motorcycle dealerships were closed. The MSF courses were all shut down. In fact, there was a point where, like, there was just nothing to do. We were just cooped up in our houses, and here I am trying to get into motorcycles. And I was kind of blogging about the whole process where I had been away from motorcycles for a long time, and I was trying to get back into it again, and I wanted to do it not like someone that had ridden before, but starting over. You know, I wanted to take a basic rider course through the MSF, through the state course here in Pennsylvania. Like, I wanted to go that direction to get me back into riding shape. It had been a long time. And I was just hitting roadblock after roadblock, and I started writing about it where, you know, I want to buy a motorcycle, but dealerships are shut down. The communication I have with the dealership on the bike that I selected is not really forthcoming. It's difficult to get a hold of the sales guy. It's difficult to get any answers. It's difficult to arrange anything. So this process has been difficult. I'm striking out on finding a basic rider course. Turns out that Total Control had a contract with Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania severed the contract, probably over the pandemic and all the closures that were happening. Not because they wanted to get rid of Total Control, but because it probably made a lot more sense to void the contract and maybe pay a penalty instead of paying Total Control for all of these theoretical classes that they would be holding, that everything was shut down, so they'd be paying them to do nothing, in effect. Anyway, so like I'm explaining that stuff, and the really cool thing that started happening was people started reading it and reaching out to me saying like, hey, I'm running into the same exact problem. Have you come across any information for courses in this area over here? Or I'm from Delaware County. Have you seen anything down here? Or I'm out towards Harrisburg. Have you found anything out this way? So it was really cool, you know, seeing people out there looking for not so much entertainment, but more educational content. So I thought that was really cool, and I'm trying to get back to that in a way where I'm producing some content on my YouTube channel that is meant more for educational purposes and less for the fun of motovlogging and for entertainment purposes. You know, it kind of goes beyond those destination rides that I enjoy doing, but provide little in the way of education or how-to. So I did a video on lane splitting in Pennsylvania, what the legality is. Spoiler alert, it's not legal in Pennsylvania, and you could get into lots of trouble. But instead of just answering that very simple yes-no, is it legal question, I tried to dive a little bit deeper, explain what lane splitting was, what filtering was, if you got jammed up because you decided to go ahead and do it, taking a look at the potential citations that you could receive for various infractions. I wrote another blog post, or actually I wrote a blog post on lane splitting, and I produced a video to go along with it. After that, I did a blog post on finding riding buddies. No video to go along with that. It was just kind of a written blog post explaining, like, if you're interested in finding riding buddies, finding people to ride with, you know, how you can go about doing that, be it using Facebook groups to find like-minded people in your area, going to dealerships to get information on the happenings in the area, how to stumble upon like little rider hotspot hidden gem kind of things, you know, these little tucked away biker friendly businesses, using websites such as Support Bikers or Meetup to find, again, like-minded people in your area. And you know, I posted that on the website, and it's been doing fairly well, given that I've got a low volume of traffic. It's kind of interesting seeing how these educational style things are developing, and they seem to be developing faster than the I Rode to a Covered Bridge Today videos. I say that kind of jokingly because I really do enjoy them, and I did it again recently. But you know, it's kind of interesting seeing this motorcycle education content is going. I've been pretty happy with it, and I'm going to continue down this road in the future. So that's probably a good reason to sign up for the Walt NPA newsletter and enter to win a free pair of HearProtec earplugs, because you'll be able to hear about all this stuff as I'm putting it together outside of the podcast. All right, folks, it's time for the last part of the podcast, the last section in my little notes here, and I want to talk about a ride in the rain that I did recently, and that's kind of a strange thing to think about in at this time of year. I mean, it's really cold, it's blustery, it's not really prime motorcycle riding weather, and the thought of riding in the rain is kind of a scary thought, actually, being that I can imagine someone getting hypothermia really fast this time of year. Unfortunately, we had this really weird spike of warm weather where it got into the 50s. I mean, we, within a period of what had to be a week, maybe 10 days, we went from 18 degrees to 50 degrees in just a really short period of time. It's amazing. The weather's been all over the place. So we got some really nice warmer weather just the other weekend, and I decided I was going to take advantage of it. So I got on the bike and I went out for a ride on Saturday. And, you know, it was pretty much local stuff. Didn't go really far. It was just fun and enjoyable. And then on Sunday, I made a plan to go out with Untamed Ride and his wife. And we talked about going out to, we were going to go to a covered bridge, and I can't remember the name of the covered bridge, but it was out in Lancaster. It was out along the Conestoga River. It was about 40 miles from home. It was a bridge that neither one of us had been to before, and I've been trying to do more destination rides, so I thought it'd be pretty cool to go do that. So I met up with Steve and his wife, and then we We hopped on the bikes, rode out toward Lancaster using Calimoto as a means to wind through backcountry roads. And it was supposed to be overcast all day. I had checked the weather numerous times throughout the course of the weekend. Saturday wound up being clear most of the time, little in the way of cloud cover. It was warmer than I expected it to be. Sunday was supposed to stay warm, but it was going to be overcast all day. It was going to be a gray, relatively warm winter day. So, not ideal riding conditions, but hey, it's fine. No rain in the forecast. It's going to be good. So, we're riding out toward Lancaster, and it seems to be getting darker. You know, it's overcast, but the further we get into Lancaster County, the darker it seems to get. And at some point in time, we start seeing sprinkles fall, and I've got these little wet spots on my visor. And I just think, oh, it's overcast. It's not uncommon to see these like passing sprinkles. We just keep on going. So we ride a little bit further. It gets a little bit darker. A couple of more drops on the visor. We press on a bit further. And before long, it's raining. It's not sprinkles anymore. It's full-on rain. It's not heavy rain, but it's coming down heavy enough that my not waterproof jacket is starting to get wet. Water's coming through my leather gloves. I'm getting wet. Fortunately, it's warm. So we're on comms, and I say, hey, let's pull over at this shopping center right here. I need to change my gloves. My hands are getting cold. I've got a pair of winter gloves in my backpack. While I'm doing that, can someone grab their phone and check the weather? Because I swore it wasn't supposed to rain today. So both Steve and his wife both say, no, it's not supposed to rain today, but, you know, we'll check the weather. So I'm fighting to get my gloves on my wet hands. And Steve's looking at the weather after he, like, shakes his phone off because he's got it on his phone holder thing, thingamabob. It's like totally slipping my mind. And so it's like soaked, and he's like getting the water off of it. He's having a hard time using the touchscreen because everything's all wet. Finally, he looks at the weather and he says, I don't know where the rain came from, but it says that it's going to rain for the next 5 hours. And Steve's wife was checking her phone and said, it's even raining back home 20 miles away, and it's supposed to rain there for the next 3 hours. So we're thinking about it, and Steve says, well, you know, if this is how it's going to rain, it's not super heavy, like I'm okay going forward. And I said, well, you know, it's darker. The further we go, the darker it's getting. Like, we're heading into the rain. I'm already getting wet. I don't have waterproof gear. I think we're better off turning back. So everyone agrees. We turn around and we start heading the 20 miles back toward home. The further we got from Lancaster, the rain tapered off. Before long, the roads were dry back toward home. Didn't even look like it had rained at all. We were just going to just call it a ride and go our separate ways once we got back to, you know, home base. But I don't remember how it came up, but we talked about maybe getting a cup of coffee. So we were coming back through Lancaster. We decided to go through the Birdsboro area, so we checked out the Redding Coffee Company, which I've had coffee from, but I've never been there before. My wife picked up bags for my birthday a couple of years ago. So we looked them up. We decided to stop over there. Of course, they were closed, so we couldn't do anything there. Actually, now that the more I talk about this, I'm pretty sure this was New Year's Day. Or it would have been the celebrated, so it would have been Monday. Everyone was closed on Monday. I'm pretty sure that's when this ride took place. So anyway, Redding Coffee Company's closed. So we get back on the bikes and we start heading back toward home again. And we're still talking about, oh, you know, it'd be really nice to get a cup of coffee. So I said, well, the other place that I can think of, there's a little coffee shop out in Royersford. You know, we could try them. So we rode past our house, our area, and went to Royersford and checked in on this little cafe, and I can't think of the name of the place. Of course, they were closed. True Blue Bakery, which Trekimoto and Zach and I went on a group ride on a while back to check out this little Australian bakery. They were like two doors down. They were also closed. So I don't remember where we went from there, but we wound up doing like 106 miles or something that day. So 20 of those miles was a ride out to Lancaster to turn around because of rain. And then somehow we managed to put another 80 miles on the bike, or all but 80 miles, traveling back towards home, going past home, looking for a coffee shop that wasn't open, and never managed to get wet after, you know, since Lancaster. So it was, even though it was supposed to rain for hours, somehow we made it work, and it wound up being a really enjoyable day to be out riding. You know, it was enjoyable after I kind of dried off a little bit. And it's a really good thing that it was warm, because if it was not warm and we got wet, that would not have been fun. And it's actually made me realize that I should finally break down and buy rain gear. Even though I have no intention of purposely riding in the rain, I don't mind getting caught in the rain. So if I'm planning a ride to go somewhere and it might rain somewhere along the way, I don't care. I'll just go. If I get wet, I get wet. But it's one of those circumstances where I really wish I had some rain gear I could throw in a backpack or something just to be prepared. Even though I don't ever set out planning to get wet, it has happened on numerous occasions. So I should probably break down and buy some sort of rain gear. I mean, I don't even know what's popular these days. I mean, when I first started riding, it was one of those things where you just went to Walmart and you bought a poncho and a pair of rain pants. You know, it was just this cheap PVC kind of like plastic material that you throw on over top of all your riding gear. I don't know what's available these days, what's good these days, whether it's worth it to buy rain gear that's built into your riding gear, or, you know, whether you want to keep it separate so that you can pack light or pack separate, that sort of thing. So if anyone's got some input on rain gear, I'd love to hear it. You can reach out to me at walt@waltnpa.com, drop in on Discord, or drop a comment on YouTube. I'd love to get your input on rain gear, because I could definitely use some. Well, folks, that's going to do it for this one. So thank you very, very much for tagging along with me. It's been kind of a long episode, and at times it felt kind of like a sales pitch, but just kind of trying to just tell you what's going on, keep you in the loop, make this less of a me talking at you, and try to make it more of a, even though it is a one-way conversation, make it feel more of a conversational style, letting you know that you are involved and trying to keep you up on what's going on, so that we can all continue on this journey together and not have me just kind of talk at you each week. So thank you very much for watching or listening, depending on how you're consuming this content. If you enjoyed it, do me a huge favor, hit that thumbs up button if you're watching on YouTube. If you liked what you heard, consider subscribing on your favorite podcast app. As always, ride safe, and I will catch you in the next one.